Yeah. We're about to get nerdy with behind-the-scenes tech talk as it pertains to social media, video platforms, podcasting, websites, and more. So take off those pocket protectors. You won't need them here. Pour yourself a tall glass of Code Red Mountain Dew, get comfortable, and prepare to talk nerdy. After Hours starts right now.
What's happening, crew? And that is correct. After Hours is going to start right now. And tonight we're going to dive into something new. It's going to be, I guess, 2 weeks in a row now of YouTube stuff. So I'm definitely going to have to take a shower after this one, I think. But yeah, we're going to talk about these new the new strike system that YouTube's going to put in place. It's coming down the pipe here really quick. The launch is supposed to be February 25th. Still some unknowns in this new change with the strike system, but we're going to definitely go through it here, run through it real quick, what we do know, and then talk about also some of the other stuff that it involves. So before we jump into all of that, before we dive into it real heavy, let me first say that if you have questions out there, be it on the live side of things, YouTube and or gun channels, or if you're listening to this in replay, throw them out there in the chat or in the comments below, and we'll see if we can't get those nerdy questions answered for you. Let's run this one through the panel now, and we'll get everything started here. Start on my right, I guess, as it would be, with the gun snob. What's happening, buddy?
Yeah, not much. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And Mr. Patriot in the Dark is with us. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the invite.
Dog Body, how's it going, man?
Hey, thanks for the invite. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And Budget is with us. How are you, Budget?
Hey, thanks for the invite, Clover. As always, love doing this show.
Yeah. And we've got Mr. Magic Mike. Mike from Munitions Weapons. How are you?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here. Thanks for the invite. And I'm ready to learn something on the technical side.
Good deal. G-Webs is in the house, I think. And then he had to step away. I don't know if he's back. We'll see.
I am. Thanks for the invite.
There we go. You bet. And our resident chicken, Mr. Gizzard. How are you, Giz?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, Clover. Thanks for the invite.
You bet. I've got Guitar Man Pete out there in the chat. He's talking about his wrench. He don't have his wrench. I do see that. I don't know. I'll check on that. I don't necessarily have time at the moment, but I'll check on that. We'll see what's going on with all of that. So let's jump into this. We've got some stuff here we've got to read. Thankfully for those listening in or watching rather as well in replay, there's not really a lot to screen share. I am going to throw, however, the link. I'm in the YouTube creators blog. That's where I'm going to be reading from and just kind of read the overview of this new strike system. Give a couple of my initial thoughts on speculation and other things that have been said, but not talked about in this particular little blog section here. And then we'll run this one through the room and get some opinions on it. So again, I'm in the YouTube creator blog. And it's entitled the blog post, Making Our Strikes System Clear and Consistent. And this was actually posted February 19th of this year, so just a couple of days ago. It says, we're updating the way we give community guideline strikes to a newer, simpler system. We worked with creators to understand what's working and what's not. And you told us that consistent enforcement, clear policies, and transparency about the impact of a strike are most important. So we're introducing more opportunities for everyone to understand our policy, a consistent penalty for each strike, and better notifications. Got a subsection here. It says more opportunities to learn YouTube policies. It says although 98% of you never break our community guidelines, they are vital to making YouTube a strong community and balancing freedom of expression with freedom to belong. That's why from our earliest days, we've relied on a three-strike system and email notices to give everyone a chance to review and understand what went wrong before they face more severe consequences. And it works. 94% of those who do receive a first strike never get a second one. We want to give you even more opportunities to learn about our policy. So, starting February 25, all channels will receive a one-time warning the first time they post content that crosses the line, with no penalties to their channel except for the removal of that content. This is to make sure everyone takes the time to learn about our community guidelines and then can quickly get back to creating great content and engaging with their audience in a way that complies with our rules. Along with this new warning, we're also expanding the policy resources available in our help center to give more detail about what behavior rules will result in the strike. This includes new detailed examples of the kind of content we commonly see that breaks our rules. Moving on to another subsection here, says consistent strikes across all of YouTube. We're also making the penalty for violating our community guidelines the same wherever it happens. While most strikes result from videos, our community guidelines cover all content on YouTube, including stories, custom thumbnails, or links to other websites included in a video's description or info card. Previously, not all strikes had the same penalty on your channel. For example, first strikes on videos would trigger a 90-day freeze on live streaming, and second strikes would result in a 2-week freeze on new video uploads. We heard from many of you that this one was confusing and the penalty didn't match the source of the strike. Now, based on your feedback, all community guideline strikes will have the same penalty. As mentioned, everyone who uploads content to YouTube will now receive a warning the first time their content crosses the line. Although the content will be removed, there will be no penalty on the channel. There will be only one warning, and unlike strikes, the warning will not reset after 90 days. The first strike will result in a 1-week freeze on the ability to upload any new content to YouTube, including live streaming and other channel activities. This strike will expire after 90 days. The second strike in any 90-day period will result in a 2-week freeze on the ability to upload any new content to YouTube. And on the third strike in a 90-day period will result in channel termination. The last section here is titled Transparency About Your Channel Status. So finally, we always want to make it clear why a strike occurred, what it means for your channel, and the next steps that are available, including appealing the decision in case you think it was a mistake. To that end, we're making our email and desktop notifications clearer, and they will provide more details on which policy was violated. We're also adding new mobile and in-product notifications to make sure you have all the important information about a strike available at a glance. These updates are part of our ongoing work to make sure that YouTube is the best place to listen, share, and create community through your stories. Our strike system is an important way for us to help creators and artists understand when they've crossed the line by uploading content that undermines that goal, and your feedback has helped to make this system work better for the entire community. We'll build on this and all the progress we've made over the last year by continuing to consult with you as we strengthen enforcement and upgrade our policies. We want to make sure they're easy to understand and address the needs of the YouTube global community. And that's signed, of course, the YouTube team. So a couple of things in here that I want to point out that's been talked about. We're yet to see a couple of things. Unfortunately, it's going to have to kind of go into effect, and we'll see how everything plays out. But one thing they do not mention in here that has been mentioned elsewhere by people from YouTube is that warning system. And they say that the warning system will work with an appeal process as well. So you'll be able to, if they tag you with a warning, that's not final say. It works kind of like a soft strike, I guess, in a way that you'll be able to actually appeal that warning because you won't get, obviously, another warning inside of your 90-day period should you end up getting a strike, right? So there's got to be some kind of a system that way. If they tag you wrong with a warning, then, you know, you're not screwed, right? So that's one of the questions revolving around warnings a little bit. The next thing that's been talked about is the copyright system. And this has nothing to do with the copyright system. That system, as far as we know, will remain exactly the same way it is now. This particular system with the warnings and whatnot has to do with the community guidelines only. And then finally, something that's talked about that, again, is yet to be seen, but they did mention that in here, has to do with the way they're going to expand their policy resources so that, you know, if you do end up getting a warning or, God forbid, a strike, then that's knowing what you violated goes a long way to be able to point out to somebody in an appeal that it was illegitimate, that it was wrong. So up until now, there was kind of a way to do that. I've talked about that in the past, where you get one little pop-up that happens when you basically log into YouTube. And in that one pop-up, not in the emails they send you for a strike or anything like that, but in that one pop-up, you will get a vague reference to a particular blurb, section, little phrase of a policy. And then from there, hopefully you've got your video saved, or maybe it's over on GunStreamer and it's pulled the metadata over where you can go and kind of compare that little blurb to that. But apparently with this new system and the new resources in play, they can actually point you to some examples in there. So give you a little better idea of, oh, well, I screwed up, right? Or, hey, no, they're taking this out of context. Maybe you didn't have your metadata right. Maybe you didn't have things titled right or described or your tags or something like that. And the algorithm picked up on it weird or something like that. But that's a couple of the things that are not in this particular article that I know we had a couple of hour discussion earlier today in another chat on what's going on, and people that were kind of have the ear of YouTube. So, I mean, they talked to some of the YouTube folks and were able to get a little better clarification on some stuff. But, you know, all in all, I mean, it looks to me like it's definitely a better system. It's not perfect. None of them are going to be, but a little better system than I think what we've dealt with for years now. I know that, for a lot of people, especially the consistency of the enforcement, the penalty, in other words, they, you know, for those that don't live stream at all, they would have to get two strikes before they're even affected. So who really cares? For those of us that live stream more than we do, more than we do produce content, then that's bad because, you know, we're getting hit right out of the gate with that. So, and if roles were reversed, I think you would see more people complaining about it. Up until this point, I think it's why it's just kind of gradually built up. It's because of the way that they dish those penalties out really have not been fair to those doing live as opposed to those doing produced content. And I think it speaks to also maybe the amount of people doing live now. So I think that maybe YouTube is actually realizing that there's a lot more people nowadays using the live features on YouTube than they used to. And, you know, the current strike system just didn't cut the mustard as far as keeping those creators online. And just because maybe they slipped up or accidentally put a link in, right? As they sit in there, most people don't get strikes. And then the vast majority of people that do get strikes, you know, they're not doing it intentionally. Usually it's just a matter of either they don't understand the policy or, you know, they've been flagged by, the algorithm unfairly or, you know, something of that nature. God forbid it's some type of an attack, which we know happens from elements online that can bulk report videos. So with that, we'll jump and kind of take this one through the panel a little bit here, talk about it a little bit. Ghost, I'll let you jump in. Have you been over this new strike policy at all, and do you have any thoughts on it?
Man, I haven't. I've been preoccupied the last couple of days, so I have no clue what's going on.
Okay. Did you hear most of what we were talking about there?
I heard a lot of it. I heard there's a warning now instead of a first strike. There's more of a warning. Is that correct? Am I correct in that statement?
Yeah, that's true.
They're not going to take away your live or whatever just right off the bat. They're going to give you a warning. Is that correct?
Right. Short story on it, I guess, is you will get a warning. You'll be able to appeal said warning, right? So even the warning itself can be done away with where it doesn't stand, right? And then also, if it does ever get into strike mode, it doesn't affect things like it does now, where first step is live, second step is produced. It affects everything across the board. First strike is 1 week. You get a 90-day, the strike stays on your account for 90 days, but it only hinders you for a week from being able to do stuff. The second strike in 90 days, again, that will extend you another 90 days, of course, but you will only get hindered as far as content production for 2 weeks. So you're not, it's like, well, you're in jail for a week and then you do your rest of your time on probation, basically. It's kind of how it works.
I mean, I'm actually happy to hear that YouTube has listened to us. And I know, I don't know if you guys did, but I was a couple weeks ago, I guess, they were doing another survey for creators. And I took the 15, 20 minutes. I don't know if I'm sure everybody else did too, but,
right,
you know, for all that we say about YouTube, I'm not taking up for them, but it is nice to hear that they are listening. That's all, right, I can say.
At least a little bit. And I myself do that as well with those surveys. And with those surveys, there's always a spot where you can put your comments in or whatever kind of at the end. And forever now, I've been harping about the strike system and how exactly what they're talking about here. The penalties are unfair. The time frames are unfair. You know, even every platform out there has graduating, it seems like, penalties. And with YouTube, it's like, okay, from first strike to third strike, it basically the penalties are the same. And not much recourse either. Gizzard, let you jump in here if you want to.
Well, I was kind of glad to see what I saw. I mean, a lot of the proof will be in the pudding.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, they've said things in the past and haven't exactly held to those guidelines. So I'd like to think if they do what they say they're going to do, it's a lot more fair. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a positive step, but we'll see.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, this does have to play out. It's definitely going to be something that we're going to want to visit in a few months and see how it's working. And who knows? I mean, they may roll out additional parts of this particular, you know, system before it's over with, before we get to the end of the year. You never know. It seems like they change in social media, all these platforms that way anyway. They change pretty consistently. I'm surprised that the three strike system honestly has been in play with YouTube as long as it has, with as many changes that's happened, especially recently. I'll bring you in because you've been on YouTube playing around here for quite some time. So you know what I'm talking about the changes and stuff that occur. But what do you think about the new policy?
Well, it's new, so of course we can't know anything about it other than what it says, but it doesn't say anything about those of us that are on our fourth strike or whatever I'm on. I don't know if I'm fourth or fifth at this point. I know I had three in 2018. I might have had one before that. So I don't know. Whatever they say, like you say, they've always had a terms of service. They've always had a policy, and they've always just done whatever they want. So, you know, they're going to frame whatever their actions are to their policy, but they're still going to act however they feel like. And unfortunately, that seems to be indiscriminate, I guess, put it nicely. And when they've had whoever these people are that go out and with their authority, I guess, to go out and persecute, that's where, you know, I'm gun shy. Like, how can I not be gun shy? I had three strikes last year. I didn't do nothing. But one of them was on a private video.
Yeah, and I mean that's I don't know if this is what you're getting at or not, but it's a great point, and it's something that was not addressed at all today when we were talking about it. So what you're saying is, because you've had previous strikes, does the warning still apply for you, or do they retroactively pull you in and say, well, G-Webs can't have a warning because he's already had a previous strike? Is that kind of what you're getting at?
I assume I'm already up to where I'm at, yeah, wherever I'm at now, right? This is all for new people that just joined YouTube tomorrow.
Right.
On the video that YouTube itself put out, the creators put out, it said it starts over for everyone, even if you have a strike currently.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different. I didn't know that.
Right. So,
change my position. I'm still skeptical.
Yeah, I think we all are. Anytime any platform puts stuff out, you know, I think it's best to have a healthy skepticism toward it for sure.
Well, I don't have skepticism, a gun tube. I'm pretty sure Night Strike is playing it straight, and I have no reason to worry about Gunstreamer either.
Well, maybe not with the strike system or getting kicked off the platform, but I mean, we've got skepticism in other ways, you know, no matter what it is. So
that's true. It's a lot of 9mm, but
sure, exactly. Mike, I'll let you jump in here. I don't know if you've been keeping up with this up until tonight or not, but get your thoughts.
Yeah, this is my first time hearing about this. Overall, it does sound legit on paper, but would they go back into the old practices of you just put a video up and now all of a sudden you get a strike and now they're not even willing to hear what you have to say about you just putting up a simple video, you know, that somebody feels like it violated their rules?
Yeah. I guess what I hear you saying is, as far as kind of going into that appeal process, is it really, you're basically adding a warning in front of everything, but then that warning still has to go into that appeal process, right?
Correct.
So, you know, if you don't really have human eyes or educated human eyes or fair human eyes or whatever it might be looking at that, because I still contend that there's a whole lot of really crappy employees that work for YouTube. And a lot of times I don't think it's even bias and stuff that gets appeals and things like that denied. It's just a really crappy employee not wanting to take the time. And it's easier for them to just deny an appeal than it is to approve it. Because if they're not paying attention and they're flirting with the pretty girl in the cubicle next door, or it's almost lunchtime or whatever, and something comes across their radar, you got to figure they're dealing with a whole lot of appeals and stuff too. That, you know, if they approve that without really looking at it, then that could come back to bite them as an employee in that, let's say it was something off the wall crazy. And I'm not, for lack of wanting to get a strike here, I'm not even going to mention what that is, but picture worst case scenario of a video that's up in your mind here on the platform. And they just willy-nilly approve that. And then it comes back, it gets tagged again, and somebody says within YouTube says, whoa, this is a very, you know, egregious violation of, you know, our policy. It's not only that, it's illegal activity, or, you know, whatever the case might be. Oh, wait. You know, this went through the process before. Who approved this before? Who approved this, you know, appeal on this before? And then that could be their rear. So, you know, you've got those less than diligent employees that I think would be apt just to click the denial button just so they could get to lunch a little quicker. And unfortunately, this doesn't necessarily address that, but hopefully with the warning system, I mean, I guess it could curb the amount of strikes, at least maybe algorithm related strikes that we see on the platform. Budget, I'll let you chime in. You've been following this a little bit, haven't you?
Yeah, I've had some questions about it. You know, I want to echo that in theory and on paper, this sounds like a good thing. The key is going to be fair and consistent implementation of it. But one of the questions I have is, A, is this going to eliminate, or is it going to do nothing for those, it's Friday evening and someone decides they want to spam your channel with 3 or 4 complaints to get your 3 or 4 strikes, and before Monday, you're gone. Number two, on the opposite end of the spectrum, someone who does something, you know, you mentioned the hypothetical egregious video that's just so horrible, it's obvious to everybody that it should be removed, etc. Is something that's so egregious like that just going to get a warning and say, bad, don't do it again? You know, looking at those two ends of the spectrum, I got to wonder how that's going to play out.
And that's a valid argument. You know, I don't know. You got to think that there's certain levels at play. Here we're talking about community guidelines, which is different than terms of service. So I would think that if you had something overly egregious, that would probably tie into terms of service. And then when you're dealing with that, terms of service are kind of trump community guidelines in a way. So I would think that that would give them the recourse. It should, you would think, give them the recourse to be able to deal with that immediately.
I would hope, but you know, you always got, as you said, the proverbial lazy employee who might just not want to deal with it.
Right. Now, Mr. TM18 Wheels out there has thrown a $2 super chat. He's being Mr. Funny, I think, but we'll still address it. He says, does it start over for Jaeger? Unfortunately, to answer that question, no. Because if your channel has been deleted already, then there's nothing to start over because it's not there anymore. Dogbody, I'll let you jump in here for a minute if you want.
So, first of all, I agree with pretty much most of what you said. You know, I would approach this with some skepticism. I like what they're saying on paper. I like the idea that, you know, people are going to get more direct answers about what they did wrong instead of just being left in the dark. You know, I like that. I like the idea of the warning system. But as somebody who's actually been a part of a channel that channel no longer exists due to what was just brought up, we had all of our strikes brought in on us within 24 hours. So before we could even start the appeal process, we lost our channel because they tagged multiple videos that we had. Now, I look at that and I go, okay, well, if there's a warning system, should that warning system potentially create a certain grace period for you to have time to actually address and maybe adjust the content on your channel so that way you don't get that mass flagging?
Right. Yeah. You know? And the mass flagging, I mean, we should have some concern over that because that definitely, we know that happens. We've talked about some of the different software packages and different things before. I don't like talking about them by name because I don't want to put them out there and promote them at all. But there are definitely software packages and stuff like that that people, you know, organizations or whatever are using for that.
It's also when something changes. Maybe something that you talked about a year ago was kosher.
Mm-hmm.
Now times have changed and now it's not, but you had 15 videos that happened to be a topic in.
Right.
You know, it's not right for all some of those videos you did a year ago. Now you have 15, you know, 15 strikes hypothetically because they all would violate.
Right.
You should get that warning and have a chance to go back and do what you need to do to that content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And exactly. And when we're talking about things like this, I mean, especially when you're talking about links in the description, that's a huge thing. That is one of those situations that it seems like every few months or something, and they're putting something, oh, well, you can't link to this or you can't link to that. Well, good Lord. I mean, when you've got a catalog, you know, especially the size of something like GWebs, even myself pushing, you know, over 800 videos or whatever, a lot of times I don't remember when they put out a new policy, some videos come to mind and I'm like, well, yeah, I need to go look at these, right? and check the descriptions.
Exactly.
But, you know, if it's like you say, where over time you've done, you know, 15 of those videos, what are the odds you're going to be able to remember all 15? You know, it's very, very unlikely. Patriot, I'll let you jump in. But before I jump in, then let me tell everybody out there in the live chat, we are open to your your nerdy questions. So if you have something that's nerdy you'd like to ask, by all means, throw it in the chat, and we'll get that answered. If you're listening or watching in replay, do the same, but throw it down in the comments. We'll take care of it. Patriot, I'll let you take the ball and run with it now.
All right. I have a couple of things. I'm obviously a new guy. I don't, you know, haven't dealt with strikes and all that stuff. My first knowledge of this is just what you just read. Now, my understanding is you get one warning, and that doesn't disappear. Once you get that warning, that just stays there. That allows them to give you strikes after that. Is that correct? Because the way you read it, it says you get one and it never goes away. Right. Once you get it. Okay, so then once you have that warning, that means you're fair game for strikes later. Okay, that's just okay. I just wanted to make sure that
that's the way. That's the way we understand it now. Yeah.
Okay. I just didn't want people to think you get a warning and then, you know, you get time to clean up things, and then if you don't, then you get a strike. It's just one warning and that's it. Okay.
Right. That's not a warning per strike. Correct.
The next thing is, you know, the probation kind of idea. You know, you get 90 days, you know, with a strike, but you only have like the first week and then you're back to normal. Right. Now that might sound nice, but that, you know, with that appeal process and any of that other kind of stuff that you have to do behind the scenes, that I would be kind of leery about that, because that allows them to get you to put more content out and possibly get your second one within that same, you know, a shorter period of time, you know, because obviously if they block you for, you know, the 90 days where you can't do anything, that time period, you're not going to get another strike unless it's something old. So I would just be leery about that, you know, that probation period allowing you to, you know, possibly throw something else that, you know, somebody could flag. And then that would chop down that time that they could get rid of you eventually or whatever, maybe.
I see that as a valid concern, but I don't know. I don't see it as that big of a concern necessarily, because the way the strike system, well, maybe so, because of the way they've changed the penalty itself.
Yeah,
because it's not, you're not just dealing with live stream with the first strike, right? Yeah. We're dealing with everything. Yeah, so
basically you're on hiatus for a week. You can't do anything. You can look, but you can't touch.
Right.
But then after that week's gone, then you can do whatever, allowing you to put out something that might be, you know, deemed offensive, you know, for that second one to be thrown at you real quick. And then you're in kind of a heap. Well, because I'm sure, I don't know how long the appeal process and if it's any better or whatever, if that actually, you know, takes a long time, where that's why they give you 90 days with a strike or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about it. I admit that.
What I was going to say about, you know, about your concern there is that if you look at the current strike system, the, you know, you get that first strike, well, that kills your live streaming for 90 days, right? Yeah. Well, if you don't live stream, then it's like, who cares, right? It hasn't really restricted you at all at that point. So in a way, this is actually, I see where it could be more detrimental, because it affects everything across the board from the first strike on. So it's definitely something that we've got to watch out for. Like I said, a valid concern for sure. A little more valid, I think, than I initially thought. So great point. Rich, welcome to the show, man. I'm glad you could finally decide to join us, man.
No, my wife decided at the last minute we had to run to Walmart.
Right. So, have you been listening in? Have you been following the new strike system that's going into effect and all of that?
Not really. I haven't got a chance to look at any of that yet.
Okay. I was going to say, if you had any questions or comments or whatever on it, you was more than welcome to throw those out there.
Yeah, the one thing that I think we talked about that last week was, the one thing that still concerns me about their policy is the fact that they can change it at a moment's notice and not, and you won't know if you're violating their policy or not because of the way they wrote it. That's the one thing that I have a concern about.
More importantly than that, that's not necessarily true, assuming that emails go out from them like it's supposed to. But more importantly to your point, is when they, like what we talked about last week, when they put not subject to included to or not limited to this, or it could the vague language, I think.
That's what I was referring to.
Yeah. But a lot of this with the warning system, and I know you weren't here early on when we were reading through the YouTube creator blog, and for those listening live, I'll tell you what, let me grab that, because there may have been other people that came in late, and I'll post that. That's where I read from earlier, so definitely go give that a look if you want to. But what they're talking about with this policy, Rich, is also creating a system to where the community resources, the community guide resources, the policy resources and all, when you get that warning, you've got more information on basically, and not only the warning, but the strikes as well. If it gets to that point, the point of a strike is that there'll be more information, even including examples and stuff there.
So it's not going to be as vague as like when you got your strike.
Well, As far as them, my strike, as far as the, if you're talking about the after hour strike, where I think that's the only strike that I was banned. The other one that happened that, I won one on appeal, I think, I don't even remember now what's happened, but if you're talking about the latest one, it was very vague. It was under the system now, and I was able to basically deduce what happened through one line in a pop-up that happens on YouTube. If you get a strike, then I was able to take one little line of that and then kind of dig through. Thank God everything was on GunStreamer, so the metadata and stuff was over there, but dig through the metadata for that video and then kind of figure out, you know, by talking to some other people and hey, what are some trends with the algorithm? What are some niches that are getting dinged right now? That sort of stuff. Kind of figure out, you know, what happened. That's supposed to be a little more transparent with this. And we've all talked about with our skepticisms and everything else. I kind of wonder how that's going to play out. But according to the blog post, and we'll get to Snob here in just a second because he watched apparently the YouTube video on it, so there may be some more information in that. But apparently they're going to give you a little more of an example of, hey, here's why basically this video got flagged. With that, Snob, I'll let you jump in here. What video was it? Actually, YouTube? The YouTube's video?
Yeah, it was actually YouTube video. It was the first one I watched. I watched a bunch. I'll try to find it and throw it in a side chat here so you can put it out there. But, on the surface, it looks really good. And one thing they did say in there, that they're supposed to be clearer with their terms or their community guidelines beforehand, too. They're supposed to make it more spelt out and clearer rather than just blanket statements, supposedly, the way I understood it. So that's good. So on the surface, it looks 100% better than what it is now.
Right. I mean, a move in the opposite direction is at least something. And that's,
you mean they're going to tell you what it was about your video and not just say, like, this is violent?
Yeah. Supposedly. Right. They're supposed to give you a little more, tell you what portion of it applied to the violence or, you know.
They'll be like, this video is violent and icky.
Well, it would be more like, the way I'm understanding it, at this point, is it'll be more like, this violates our policy, on violence, let's say. It'll have a link and it'll say, see this link or what at time code, whatever. Right. And then so you jump into the link that's provided. And then that'll lay out, some examples, more specific examples of, hey, you can't show activity where people are, I don't even know what they would consider violence, and that goes into a little bit of what Rich was talking about. So it's hard for me to pull those examples out because I don't know what kind of
example. I've got two examples. One is a book review and the other was taking apart a shotgun on a table and putting it back together.
Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah,
violence, and they,
yeah, I don't know what examples they would give you in that instance, and that's what I'm saying. It's hard for me. If you were talking about really egregious stuff, which we were talking about with budget just a second ago, then I mean it's obvious. If we were talking about, you know, a harm where somebody was actually getting hurt, you know, intentionally, or especially if you're talking about, because we had this conversation last week when we were talking about the challenge videos and the pranks and the stuff like that. So if somebody was, you know, being pranked to a thing, an extent that it was bullying, or, you know, if they were, you know, being physically harmed, especially in any way or something like that, then, I mean, they should be able to point to things and say, this is the reason. And then if what you've got certainly doesn't align with that, then, I mean, you could very easily appeal at that point, but you would be appealing a very specific thing. Whereas now it's vague, and, you know, you've got to try to look and do some homework and research and try to figure out, okay, why did they try to flag this? Because, you know, I've got to be able to try to appeal this in a manner that's, you know, you got to know what you're accused of, right? How do you go if you get arrested and they say, well, we're arresting you, and that's all they tell you, and they throw you in jail, and then you go before a judge, and he's like, okay, do you, you know, plead guilty or not guilty? For what? And then they don't tell you, you know. Well, I mean, there's no way to appeal. There's no way to try to, you know, provide a defense or explain anything to anybody. So, yeah, if they give you some good solid examples of why it was flagged, then I think that would go a long way with the appeal process. And here's the other thing to that, and it's something that we've yet to talk about. And since I ran through the panel, anybody can jump in if you want to in the last few minutes here. But here's one thing that that I thought about with this was that when you're talking about going through this appeal process and having, you actually have this added layer of a warning, right? And then the warnings can be appealed, and there really isn't just a whole lot of turmoil, right, up in arms in that. So the algorithm, and again, we're talking about multiple issues as to why a video can be removed. It could be algorithmic, it could be through reporting, it could be several other issues, but definitely from an algorithmic standpoint, we know that the algorithm learns. We know that the algorithm can pick up on trends, both good and bad, and flag stuff. So with a system that just provides warnings, and then provides at least some type of transparency for somebody to be able to go in and then articulately fight for the appeal, then what kind of weight would that hold on the algorithm as far as keeping that thing kind of in line and keeping it from wrongly flagging stuff in the future? I think that this policy change could have a positive benefit on the algorithm as it learns as well.
Yeah, to the goofiness of the algorithm thing, my son was just telling me while you were talking, because he overheard everything because he was in the room. A video games channel that he watches, mm-hmm, had temporarily had their entire channel deleted because they were doing a review on Pokemon Go.
Yes.
And they streamed some of the game footage, and the algorithm flagged them as being child porn.
Yes. Yes. We talked about that today, actually, in the little creator meeting that it was doing. So, yeah, fully aware of that. And, you know, that can happen, unfortunately. Now, you know, on that front, on the whole child endangerment, I guess you could call it, or the, I don't even remember now. They've got a terminology they use, and I can't remember. It's not like child endangerment, but it's
exploitation
of children. There you go. Thanks, dog body. Exploitation of children is what they call it. They're taking a pretty serious stance on that, and there's a lot of stuff going on now that has to do with, and this is all something for a complete nerd chat. You got a lot of gun people in this particular chat. A lot of folks that watch gun channels, a lot of folks that create firearm related content, that sort of thing. So it would boggle most of them's minds if we get off into that. But yeah, there's definitely some algorithmic stuff going on There's some big name players that are making some waves. There's potentially some adpocalypse stuff that can result. And unfortunately, yeah, the Pokemon thing that you're talking about got caught up in that whirlwind. So, but that's definitely a valid consideration when, you know, algorithms go wild and stuff like that. Anybody else got anything to add? Want the floor for a few minutes?
Yeah, I was going to just talk about if you start looking at different things and start seeing trends and start picking up on some things that have happened, it looks to me, and this is just my kind of tinfoil hat thing, but I have also heard rumors of antitrust lawsuits being threatened because Google and YouTube are technically separate entities, that an antitrust suit has been rumored for censorship. And I know we all know that YouTube gets sued a lot. I'm wondering if the sudden change in direction is not a preemptive strike to avoid a government oversight or a government overview of Google and YouTube, like they did with Facebook and all of that. I'm wondering if they're preemptively trying to get away from the censorship argument and at least trying to, on paper, look like they are trying to be more accepting. I don't know. It just seems weird to me. All of a sudden, they put more money into hiring more people for, you know, doing reviews and looking at all of this stuff. They're building a new a new compound apparently somewhere in the Midwest. I mean, they're doing a lot of stuff for Google and YouTube, and it's supposedly to be more user friendly. I'm wondering if some of these are not maybe behind the scene. I don't want to call them compromises, but maybe behind the scenes stuff to get away from some of these lawsuits that have been threatened. Because when you start talking antitrust, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and that's a valid point. And that could be. I mean, they certainly, you got to figure, I mean, they certainly got some very smart lawyers on the payroll that can, you know, make some very, you know, very good decisions for them as far as, you know, as far as heading that off. They changed this policy, lightened up on this. You know, hammer down a little more on this, like the whole, what's the word, dog body? Exploitation of children thing, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this is because of that. YouTube took down, I can't remember how many hundreds of thousands of channels they said that they deleted in the last week, as well as how many hundreds of thousands of comment sections they closed.
Yes.
And they're terrified of not so much, you know, one big lawsuit, but YouTube itself does not make enough money by itself. It has to be supported by its mother company of Google.
Mm-hmm, correct.
And so it's death by a thousand lawsuits. I think at this point, like after seeing what happened with Twitter, after seeing, you know, Facebook get hauled up in court, they realize that if they don't put a little more money behind taking care of the creators and making these kind of policy changes, that they're going to find themselves drowning by a thousand cuts.
Yeah. And I think they've moved. I think they moved steadily for a while. I think they did it with the YouTube partner program. They revamped that. They seem to, I mean, that looked draconian, and it looked absolutely horrible to those people that had to suffer through that. I know Ghost had to deal with it and several other people, but post them changing that policy, you know, for me and my channel, I mean, I've seen things get better. I've seen things get better as far as the fluidity of the whole monetization system goes, as far as ad rates, as far as, you know, other things. I've seen things get better, right? I've seen search and discovery seem to pick up and get a little better. And it's like they weeded out a bunch of the Yahoos. And yeah, I mean, you got weirdness in any corner. It's the internet, for Pete's sake, right? So you got weirdness all over the place, and they've certainly got to find that and weed it out. And unfortunately, and this is where it's so important. I talk about this often, and I can't stress it enough, you know, because you'll get people that say, and I'm not talking about people that are firearm creators per se, but you'll get people out there that whatever their niche, and they say, well, you know, I've done all this homework and I looked at all this stuff, and you know, to grow on YouTube, I don't have to do these tags or these descriptions or these titles this way and all this other stuff. And it's like, well, they're right in a way. They're right in a way in that, you know, YouTube is revolves a lot around, we talked about this last week, but they revolve a lot around watch time and things like that. And so, no, in a very basic sense, you don't really have to pay that much attention to that stuff. However, when you're talking about an algorithmic issue, and especially one that can happen, whether it was like me on the live stream, which was a trigger that happened with the algorithm dealing with Android app piracy, or you're dealing with child exploitation, or you're dealing with any other issue that has become a major problem, and that algorithm trips and your stuff is not appropriately, you know, titled and tagged and described and all of that, then, you know, you run the risk of, well, you're relying on, you know, the automatic closed captioning system and the screenshot system and the thumbnail and things like that, you know, links that might be in your description or whatever, you know, what type of videos that it classifies it with, and then you could be in trouble as well. Gee, I know you were saying some stuff in the chat. Is there any of that you want to talk about real quick?
I don't know. I was just thinking about it. It's something made me think about it while you guys were chatting about all this, that we're the ones who are always getting the focus, it seems like, or maybe we just don't pay attention. But have we seen anything about how they're going to clean it? Are they efforting at all to clean up the user database to keep the place more congenial and less aggressive? And, you know, maybe if somebody's threatening people out there or something and they get, you know, alerted from enough things, that the same way the channels get, you know, all these terms of service created for them, that right. They don't do something towards the terms of service for users who are out there causing a big nuisance and just making it to where it's intolerable for somebody who's trying to put out constructive content and frustrate them to where they might just leave the system. And what you're left with is the people that are willing to tolerate the garbage or the angry, you know, bitter people out there that just, you know, that aren't there to do anything constructive.
That would be incredible.
Well, one thing, this isn't from the creator's side, but from the user's side, it's my understanding that, so in order for users to leave a comment in a comment section, for example, they technically have a channel, regardless of whether they ever upload anything or not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And those channels, quote unquote, those people who just watch, who leave comments, can now receive some form of strike system that can get their stuff deleted as well.
Mm-hmm,
exactly. It's supposed to be running out. And yeah. So now, instead of you getting a strike on you because somebody decided to come and put a bunch of nonsense in your comment section, that's no longer going to fall on you. That's supposed to now fall on the person who actually made and left the comment.
Yep.
So that should definitely help out a lot.
What you want to also make sure is, if you are a user, and I don't know if people have really paid much attention to this, and you leave a comment, not during a live chat, but an actual comment on a video, your comment can be flagged as well. And it won't go against that video. It'll sit there and say, hey, you know, I'm going to flag this comment. And it doesn't have to be by the creator. It can be by anyone who sees that comment that might find that comment offensive. So be careful of what you say.
No, that's a great point. I forgot about that. But that is a way that you can have consequence for the people that are just out there to be angry and abusive.
Yeah. Well, and then that's a good opportunity to bring up two things. And we've known this for a while. But when you log into the chat now, even the live chat, and that's why you got to be careful with the weirdness and the other stuff that goes on in these live chats. It's because, you know, you've got a thing that pops up now and it says, you know, hey, you know, you're bound by the user guidelines. I don't know the exact vernacular of it, but we've all seen it because we've probably all jumped into a live chat today, but it's there. So that's your responsibility, to, you know, to play by the rules of the game, so to speak, too. So you've really got to be careful for that. But yeah, when they've changed this around, it's basically everybody on the platform is responsible for whatever they do on the platform. And it's wherever that might be, whether you do that in a comment or in a side chat of a live stream, or actually on a panel, or actually in a video, or even on the community tab or something like that. You're all, everybody themselves is responsible for that. And then the second thing is, as a creator with your comments, and I would highly suggest, if you haven't done this, that you do it already, but that you go into your community settings and turn all of that on, and put in words, blocked words and things in there that it catches. Swear words are given. And I know for some people, it broke my heart to go in there and put in, 100 different swear words. But I had to do it. And then, I've went in and thrown in all types of other things, from www to HTTP to, different things like that. Buzzwords and things that if somebody was being threatening or something like that. And it doesn't block them per se. Poor wheelchair warrior, for example, he gets his blocked, every single time I got to release it to my comments, because he puts the little wheelchair emojis. And I don't know what YouTube's got against disabled people, but it apparently doesn't like those wheelchair emojis, and I've got to release his. But at least it gives me the option to go in and things, try to catch things before they ever get posted. And if I think that they cross a line, then, I can just get rid of them right then and there. So as a creator, if you don't have those type of protocols in play, jump over there, spend a little time and set that up. Because
do you think that they are afraid that he was talking despairingly against Franklin Roosevelt, being in a wheelchair or something? That's threatening a president or a former president?
I guess it could be. Honestly, I think what it is he does like four or five of them at one time.
Yeah, it's a repeat.
It's a repeat thing, I think. It's kicking in on it is what it's doing. But I like to joke about that, because it seems like it does it every single time with him, bless his heart. So with that, we'll start shutting this down. We've got the new news is out there. It's covered. So again, I encourage you, get over to YouTube Creator Blog or over there on the YouTube Creators channel, and look up, read and or listen and or watch, and just kind of keep tabs. Help us keep tabs on it as well. We'll run this one through the room here. Let everybody give their shout outs and plugs and things they need to do before we call it an evening. Ghost, we'll start down on your end.
I got nothing. Thanks for having me tonight. Make sure you get out there and shoot. Take someone with you. Turn the camera on. And thanks for having me. It's a great show.
Yeah. Guess what you got before we split?
Well, thanks for the invite. It's a great show. Check out my website at gizzardgary.com. Foul Territory tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. And as always, like, share, and subscribe to CloverTech. And thank you.
Thanks for jumping in, Giz. G-Webs, take it away.
Thanks for the invite. Good show.
Bet. Mike, you're up. Give us those plugs, buddy.
All righty. Only thing I will say is if you want to give me a call at 803-250-1256. Go to www.m-wtactical.com and check out everything I'm a part of and everybody I'm associated with, who I'm doing work with. You can also go to the GoFundMe, which is gofundme.com/LEO training all together, whereas we're trying to put in a couple law enforcement officers and some jiu-jitsu training for a year so they don't have to resort to their firearms as a first means. And the M-W Tactical channel, where we do various reviews and conversations, where we put out every Tuesday on GunStreamer and YouTube. And we now have a M-W Tactical podcast that we're going to put out every Tuesday as well. And you can go to the link or on the website or click on the post that will be posted on the M-W Tactical Facebook page as well. Or do your search on your favorite podcast platform, which is right now is only on Pocket Cast and Anchor FM for M-W Tactical.
All right. And on those phone calls, is that $1.99 a minute, or how exactly does that work, Mike? I'm just curious.
It's free for the people who don't laugh at my tactical blue headphones, but everybody else, it's a donut every hour.
I mean, are you that hard up for friends that you're just trying to get random people to call you?
Apparently.
Hey, I'm a lonely guy over here. My house is very empty.
Yeah, right.
we're not buying.
This is pretty cool. I just want to say that is pretty cool. Mike puts his phone number out there. I think a couple of people have put their phone number out there before, but Mike does it every time. And there's definitely, I mean, I know people that won't email. We know people, right? We know people that won't email. They have to be texted. And I'm sure there's people out there that prefer phones. So I think that's cool, Mike, you do that all the time, because I'm sure it's working for you. I'm sure people are calling you. But, you know, because there's people that might hear this or overhear this that are not computer people, and we could tell them every URL or every link or whatever, and it's nothing to them. But a phone number is what they're looking for. So that's cool.
Yeah. I get a phone call probably about 5 to 10 a week, and I probably get about the same in text messaging also on that same phone number.
Budget, you've got a show with some topics coming up, I hear.
Yeah. Be sure to catch the Ride of the People tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern on my Budget Guns and Gear Reviews YouTube channel. We're going to be talking about this Benchmade kerfluffle. Not necessarily going to be a dog pile. I'm been doing some research into their political donations and whatnot, but other people as well. So come catch that one. Also, if you watch the SSP eyewear video, there's going to be a part two to that coming. They reached out to me and want to send me some of their bottom focal lenses, and I'll show you what to do with those. So check it out. Thanks.
You bet. Dog Body, what do you got shaking?
Thanks for having me, first of all. If any of you out there are interested in dogs and want to learn more, come hit me up at muscledogmafia.com. Or if you have questions, you can email me directly at muscledogmafia@gmail. And, you know, if you guys are interested in learning more, I have a book for sale, which you can buy at the website, Pound for Pound. And if you buy that book, then the more of those I sell, the faster I can get the second book out. So thank you very much.
Good stuff. Patriot, what you got?
Well, thanks for having me. I'm glad you're back. So welcome back. I want to say that. You can find me everywhere as Patriot in the Dark. I'm on Gunstreamer, GunTube, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter, and over on gunchannels.com, which is a great place. I am currently have an EDC challenge, so if you find my channel out there, look it up and try to get involved and talk to people that are not on the computer. There's a lot out there that don't know what's going on, and just make sure you pass it on. If you want to get a hold of me and you don't do this computer stuff, just call Mike. He's got my information.
There you go.
So there you go. See?
Yeah, I'll make sure you get it.
That works.
He's got the best receptionist voice in the country.
Right. There you go. Rich.
Yeah, Sunday night over at Unloaded Media Channel, we have This Week Unloaded. We'll be back this week where we missed last week. Illness was keeping me where I wasn't doing much of anything that day. So, yeah, we'll be back on Sunday.
Good deal. And Mr. Snob, bring it home.
Ain't got much. All I got, I just released a video today. So if you haven't seen it, everybody go watch it. Other than that, thanks for having me. Enjoyed the show. And I'm good.
Sweet. Yeah, thanks to everybody on the panel that joined. Thanks to everybody out there in the live chat, as well as those that have made it all the way through in replay, either video or audio podcast. There's a question out there in the chat. I'm going to answer this real quick before we close up and get the heck out of there, if I can find it. Where are they at? And it was too haughty, and he said, should YouTube make it easier for creators to censor people whom you don't agree with? Example, comments you don't like. Yes. My answer to that is yes. As a creator, I want to have complete control over my comments and everything else, because unfortunately I have a responsibility to my audience. And that is a staple of that. That's going to be something. I can't have somebody coming in swearing and making all kinds of crazy stuff and me having no way to deal with that. Unfortunately, when you deal with that, you give some people the ability, I guess, to censor, if you want to use that word. But my channel is my house, and I have rules to my house. Everybody knows that. And yeah, that's my opinion on that. With that said, you can find me everywhere. Just go to clovertac.com. That's it for us this week. Stay nerdy, and we'll catch you next week. Bye.